بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We come to the second one, which is the belief in the malaika. Before I go to that, the three parts to tawheed which I want to talk to you about. One is, we call this tawheed ul-uluhiyat, tawheed ul-rububiyat, and tawheed asma ul-sifat. The tawheed, which is the unity of worship of Allah, which is la ilaha illallah. There's no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed rububiyat is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, the protector. Allah as the Rabb. So everything which we get is from Allah. So in Surah Al-Fatiha, when you say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. So na'bud is to do with tawheed of uluhiyat, ibadah, which is also called tawheed ubudiyya or tawheed ibadah. And nasta'in, which is help, is tawheed rububiyat, the unity of the one who controls and sustains and provides everything. And tawheed asma' sifat is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in all his attributes in that way and does not resemble anything in creation, and nothing in creation resembles him. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa sami wal basir. He is the one who hears and he is the one who sees. But his hearing and seeing is very different from our hearing. We also hear and see. But I cannot see what is behind my back. I cannot hear certain pitches of sound, high and low. Right? Elephant, for example, hear very low pitched sound, and they hear it over very, very long distances. Elephant herds communicate over distances like 200 miles apart. But we can't do that. Not without a gadget. Right? And we cannot even hear the elephants communicating, because that sound is at such a low pitch that we can't hear it, but elephants hear it. So Allah has created many things in different ways. Trees communicate. Acacia trees in the African savanna, when, say for example, a herd of kudu comes and they start eating, the trees communicate. And the trees further away, they excrete not a toxin, but something like a toxin in the leaves, which the kudu find very bitter, so they stop eating them. So it's very important to understand this. So the whole thing, therefore we say Asma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in these. Even though some of the, to understand, we use those same words, but they're nothing like us. And that's the reason why in Islam, all forms of fortune telling and feng shui and tarot cards and all that stuff, divining arrows, belief in this takes you out of Islam. Which brings us to the issue of shirk, which is to join partners. Therefore, shirk fi uluhiyat, shirk fi rububiyat, shirk fi asma'u sifat, all three are shirk. All three are major shirk. So, joining anyone as a partner with Allah in his worship, joining anyone as a partner with Allah in his actions, in his power, glory, majesty, whatever he can give us, rububiyat, and joining Allah as a partner in his asma'u sifat, in his names and attributes, is major shirk, and it takes you out of Islam. So also, in Islam, all forms of atheism obviously is not Islam, but also agnosticism and any of these things, which is something where you're not actually believing in Allah as the only one worthy of worship, as the creator, sustainer, maintainer, is not Islam, right? to joke or mock Allah or His promises also takes you out of Islam. To joke about and mock, speaking things like this takes you out of Islam. To joke about and mock Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him, also takes you out of Islam. Which brings me to the issue of repentance. What do I do if I have done something like this? What do I do if I am not a Muslim, I want to enter Islam? What do you do? Repentance. The key thing in Islam to understand is in Islam, the connection is directly between the Creator and the person. You are connected to Allah directly, I am connected to Allah directly. You don't need me, I don't need you to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Islam, there is no priesthood. There is no clergy. We don't have any form of structured religious hierarchy, right? Each person is connected directly to Allah. So if you make a mistake, what must you do? There are two kinds of things. One is mistakes in what we call hukukullah, the rights of Allah, basically, which means in His worship and so forth. If I made a mistake, I was supposed to pray, I did not pray, or whatever I did. This, you directly, you repent, you seek Allah's forgiveness, and inshallah, Allah will forgive us. We have this complete yaqeen because Allah told us this. He said, He will forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah says, Allah will forgive all sins. So therefore, we seek forgiveness. If the action which I did involved somebody else, for example, if I harmed you, and then I realize I did something wrong, I can't just go to Allah and say, I'm sorry. No. You go to this guy first. Seek His forgiveness. Once He forgives, then ask Allah's forgiveness. Allah will forgive. Rasulullah said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, the Allah will not forgive you until the person you wronged forgives you first. So if you wronged somebody, whatever that nature of that wrong was, compensate the person, return that person property, whatever it was, make sure you seek forgiveness of this person. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what about if this person refuses to forgive me? Some people like bearing grudges. No, I will never forgive. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have made the effort, then leave it to Allah. Not your fault after that. But make the effort. Then they asked him, for example, they said, well, you know, there are people whose property I may have taken and now this person is dead. I got this realization after 20 years that this person is dead. Now what? He said, give it to their heirs, whoever their descendants are. What if I don't know who they are? What if I did something in somewhere, I went away, now I don't know where this person is? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give that money away or give that stuff away in charity and make dua, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this person and to Allah to forgive you. Islam is very clear with regard to rights, people's rights. Very, very clear. And remember, very important thing. In Islam, as far as all of these rights are concerned, there is no differentiation between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Right? So, this is very, very important to understand. In Islam, no difference. Justice is justice. A Muslim does not have the right to violate the rights of another person who is not a Muslim. The other person, maybe even if the other person is somebody who is an atheist, and maybe you know that this person sits and curses Allah every day. You've heard him cursing Allah. Still, you have no right to do any injustice to that person. The fact that he or she is sitting and cursing Allah is between them and Allah. Let Allah deal with that. That's not your problem. As far as you are concerned, how must I treat that person? With justice. Right? It's a very important principle to understand in Islam. There's no differentiation. There's no Muslim, one law, and non-Muslim, another law. No. Law is the same. Justice means the same. Right? Okay. What about wasila or tawassul? People ask, for example, there's this thing of going to the grave of somebody and asking that person for a favor. Somebody, where is the grave, right? You go to that thing and you ask that person for a favor, or you you ask that person to make dua for you. People do all this. None of this is permissible in Islam. If you are asking that person, whoever passed away, for a favor, then you have, with the belief that this person can do that, then you have literally exited Islam. Because you are doing what is called major shirk. If you go there to the grave of this person, including the grave of Rasulullah, for example, you might say, well, what about the Prophet? There's no change, there's no difference. If you go to the Prophet's grave and you say, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me, for this, this, this. Open shirk, major shirk. Why is it open shirk? Why is it major shirk? Two reasons. Firstly, you are giving to that person who died, whoever it is, including the Prophet Rasulullah himself, you are giving to them the power which belongs only to Allah, which is to do anything in your life. Number two, if you say, no, I'm not asking the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, I'm asking him only to make dua. Right? Okay. Let's take that. So now, sister, dance goes. And she is there, and you are asking Rasulullah for a favor, or asking him to make dua for you, right? Which language will you use? Your language, right? Do you speak Arabic? No. Did the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did he speak anything other than Arabic? No. So she's going to go there and she's going to speak to him in English or in Bengali or in Urdu or something. And we believe that he understands all languages. And also, she's going to go there and say, Ya Rasulullah, Falan, Falan. Hold on, excuse me. Who are you? Do I know you? I mean, I was born and I died in the 7th century. This is the 21st century. I mean, so if I'm doing that, I'm saying by my action that the Prophet Muhammad knows every human being ever created, speaks every language ever created, recognizes every person who's ever created. Anybody can go to his grave and he speaks and he knows who this person is and he's understanding this person's language. Who do these qualities actually belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one else in the world who knows you personally except the one who created you. Languages, he is the creator of languages. To talk to Allah, do I need to know Arabic? No, you don't need to know Arabic. Can I speak to Allah in English? Yes. Can I speak to Allah in Mandarin? Yes. Right? This is the meaning of shirk fi asma'u sifat. So we are giving the qualities that belong only to Allah to a human being. No matter who the human being is or maybe. Do we revere Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes. Do we respect him? Of course. But does that mean I give him the qualities which belong only to God? No way. No way. If I do that, I have exited Islam. I've gone away. Please understand one thing very clearly. Don't get carried away by this alim said that, that sheikh said that, the so-and-so scholar said that. In Islam, there are only two sources of evidence that are accepted. What are they? The Quran and the Sunnah. The word of Allah and the word of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you might say, what about Ijma or Qiyas? What about the Ijma is the consensual, agreed upon opinion of scholars, and Qiyas is the educated opinion, a deductive reasoning of a particular scholar. You might say, what about these two? Because we accept these also in the Sharia, right? These two, Ijma wal Qiyas, are subject to the Quran and Sunnah. To give you an example, what is the position of the Quran and Sunnah with regard to interest-based banking? Is it permissible or not permissible? Yes or no? Huh? So I say to you, brother, listen. I am living in America in the 21st century, right? The whole system is based on banking. I need to get a house. I need to buy a car. I need to go to university. So I have to take a loan based on interest and pay interest. So is it acceptable? Yes or no? Yes or no? Sit. I can't hear. No. No. Then I said, no, no, hold on a second. I've got this great scholar. He's got a nice big turban and so on. And he says, it's okay. Huh? And maybe this scholar also has another 20 people, 20 other scholars with him. They collectively say, in America, it is okay. In France, it is okay. What do you say? Yes. No. It's not okay. If all the scholars in the world, every single living, breathing scholar gets together and says, interest-based banking is halal from today onwards, it will still remain haram. It will still remain prohibited. Right? In Islam, is it permissible to have a relationship with a man or a woman outside of marriage? If somebody says, well, you see, after all, this is America. What is haram is haram. What is halal? Eating of pork, is it jais or not jais? Permissible or not permissible? Eating machine slaughtered chickens, halal or haram? Huh? Can I hear you? Haram. Why? Because it's not halal, right? Machine slaughter. What's machine slaughter? Roadkill. No? I mean, roadkill is machine slaughter, right? Run over a chicken and after they eat it. You won't do that. But just because the machine is in the factory, you say it's halal. Yes, go on. Huh?
Mm. Times of extreme necessity, like life or death situations, like the Sharia is flexible.
Absolutely. Yeah. In times of extreme necessity, define extreme necessity.
Yeah, like life or death.
You're dying.
That's not Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah? Not KFC. Extreme life, yeah, absolutely. Extremely, I'm freezing to death. I'm practically frozen. I'm there. Saint Bernard dog finds me. Rescue guy. He lifts me up. I'm half dead. He says, here, have this. He give me a rum, right? He says, drink the rum. Drink it, no problem. Alhamdulillah. But once you've got some, you know, some warmth in the body, now you go something. You say, you know what? That stuff you give me is nice. Give me some more. No. No. Extreme necessity meaning life and death. Why? Because in Islam, to take a life is the worst possible sin. To take a life, anybody's life. Suicide, haram, prohibited, no reason. Doesn't become permissible in any way, for any reason, no. Killing somebody, prohibited, not permissible, no reason. Right? So therefore, to save a life, yes, you can even do something which is normally prohibited if it is for a life-saving reason. But it has to be a life-saving reason. You can't just say, well, you know what, this chicken, well, if I don't eat this, I will die. I'm dying to eat the chicken. Please, excuse me, let me eat. No. It doesn't work like that, right? Extreme necessity. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم